Welcome to What the Fit, a podcast about what it means to be fit, whatever the fuck that means. I'm your host, Christelle Rubio, and I'm helping to share the stories of cool people doing cool shit, from fitness trainers to wellness coaches, entrepreneurs, and entertainers. We'll hear the behind-the-scenes journey, all the different ways we can take care of ourselves, and of course, we'll answer and explore the big question of, what does being fit mean to you? My guest today is the co-founder of Indio Design, an architecture and design studio that specializes in the intersection between brand and space. The studio helps companies thrive in a brand-dominated world through the strategic design of interior spaces and experiences. Please welcome returning guest, Christy Wolfson. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy to have you back. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Me too.
This is fun.
It's
this
so
is
a fun to be here.
Fun topic. And, you know, I think that this is just such another example of how many different hats you wear.
Like,
I'm like, how many jobs
it's so confusing for people.
Do you have?
A lot.
A lot. The last time you were on, we heard about Say So. Mm-hmm. And the inception of Say So, you and Michael were on.
I know. That
Michael
feels like
dominated
5
the conversation.
Ago, and I think we had just opened Say So.
Yeah. It had to have been like 2021.
Michael did dominate.
He
that
didn't. I'm just teasing him because he thought that he did.
Well,
but he didn't.
I
wanted to hear his story.
You were like, let's hear your story. This is a 1 hour podcast. And it was like 38 minutes in. And he's like, so it's the second grade. And it's like, when he has a great story.
It's
easy to listen to him.
But. Yeah, yeah. If anyone has not heard that episode, go back. Say So. You know and love the bar. Now we have Razzo.
Mm-hmm. Rotzo. Yeah, you say the T like pizza.
Rotzo. Oh my God, I've been saying it wrong.
That's okay. Everybody does.
Thank God we're here to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Rotzo.
Yeah.
It means rocket.
It means rocket. Yes. Yeah. Rocket to the moon.
Yeah. And amazing pizza, amazing arancini, Peroni on draft, one of the few places in the city. So it's on my, I know all the places in the city that serve Peroni. Che,
I think
Say
that's
So.
That's like the ultimate, I went to Italy and this is my souvenir for myself is like an obsession
Christy,
with Peroni.
No, Christy, it's my personality.
Yeah, like. Well, it's
yeah,
the best
but,
though.
But really I am obsessed with Peroni. Like
yeah.
I'm full on.
It's good.
It's
yeah.
so good. But you have Peroni at Rotzo and now you have brunch on Sundays.
Yes. Yeah.
So everyone needs to go check out the brunch. I have not been yet, but the pictures look amazing and I'm going to have my birthday brunch there.
We're very excited for your birthday brunch.
Yes.
And yeah, go check out.
Oh my God. I'm going to have, it's I don't know fun. Why I didn't think of this, but I was like trying, I told you before, I was like trying to find what restaurant can we go to? I'm going to no, we need to go to brunch and I can have a Peroni. I brought so.
It's great.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's nice and sunny in there too. I think that's.
It's a beautiful space, of course.
I had a cold for our first brunch. I was like, I can't go and be like coughing in the dining room. So I went for the first time this past Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it is so nice to see people in the space when like the sun's pouring in the windows.
Yeah.
So we had designed that space for nighttime. It's neon. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's very cool.
But it's, yeah, it has a whole different identity when you're there during the day.
Yeah, and it's in the old Boomtown biscuit spot in Pendleton.
Yep. Right.
What's your favorite brunch item? What is the brunch like?
My favorite, first thing to come to mind favorite is there's a blueberry lemon pizza.
I saw that.
Like streusel-y, blueberry muffin-y, blueberry pancake-y,
yes.
All of those breakfast flavors. I'm the like savory and sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like the person.
An appetizer,
like
of sweetness. And then you have your main
course.
All
the things. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. But we also have, I had never heard of until our chef and kind of kitchen team made them maritozzi. Did you have a maritozzi in Italy?
No, but is that the little round thing?
Yeah,
I saw that, but like I did not know
it's
what
like
it was.
It's like a little brioche, like think almost cream puff, but like brioche and kind of bigger. It's like somewhere between like Hawaiian roll,
yeah,
and like donut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just cut it in half and they come with different fillings. And there's one that's like a smoked salmon cream cheese kind of filling. And it's like kind of a sweet dough and then like
savory,
smoky. And yeah, so I love that. They're mostly sweet too. There's like a really great coffee flavored one too and all that stuff. But in the beginning, I was kind of like, I don't really know what this is. And it's making me want a donut, but it's not a donut. And it's making me want a croissant, but it's not a croissant.
Yeah.
Where you have to like wrap your mind around a new thing.
Yes, yes. What's it called again?
It's called a maritozzi.
Maritozzi.
It's another one with the two Z's.
Okay.
So you say the T.
And that's a T.
So it's a T-Z. Right. Right. Gosh. Exactly.
I'm so like for nothing else, but that we know this fact, like, thank God.
It's okay. The, you know, heaven forbid we name a business something that's easy to pronounce.
Right. Right. I guess like, how would people know? No one's heard anyone say it, I guess, really. We just
right.
see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you see yeah. it or you read it. Exactly. So that's why it's great to do this kind perfect. Of thing. Not that it's we're going to talk about pizza.
No, we're not going to talk about pizza. Yeah. We're not going to talk about wine. We're not going to talk about beer. We're not going to talk about pizza. But we are going to talk about Indio.
Yeah.
And this design studio. Okay, so tell us a little bit about, we know the hospitality hats that you wear. Let's say that. But what else are you doing?
So...
which is like the main part
I'm like,
of your
oh, you want to hear about my real life?
Your real life, yes. Yes.
No, like hospitality stuff is very real too. Yeah. But it does sometimes not feel that way compared
for
to...
For you.
I mean, I went to design
exactly.
school. It's like it's more, it feels much more like your career mm-hmm. versus projects, you know, mm-hmm. even though it's a career that's in and of itself built around projects, design mm-hmm. is, you know.
No, I get that though.
Like yeah, but
design
it's still
is
different.
Like, yeah, what you've been trained to do, what you've gone to school to learn to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's right. I'm like, that's what I know how to do. Mm-hmm. Everything else I'm figuring out every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
which
know,
is fun.
Which is nice to yeah. like have that thing that you can feel, you know, like you've earned your expertise in after many years
yeah.
versus some things where you're like just oh, I've never done that before.
Fine by the seat of your pants a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is
I'm
fun.
I'm sure I can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can
exactly.
run a restaurant.
It's totally
yeah,
fun. Yeah. It's fun having the blend, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, I mean, my more formal training and beginning of my career in Los Angeles and all of that stuff was in commercial interior design. So mostly mm-hmm. doing creative workplace offices.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting post-COVID topic.
Yeah.
You
seriously.
Know, it's just, what are we doing with our offices?
What is happening with the office?
It's a lot's happening. And also, it's like a lot is up in the air, to be honest. Like even, I think I can probably speak to what's going on in the world of workplace as well as anybody. And nobody really knows.
Mm.
But we're all kind of hedging our bets, you know, on like...
People coming back?
Are people going to... I think people are going to come back, but they want something different.
Hybrid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's all the research is saying, you know, no one wants to give up what they've been given in
mm-hmm.
terms of like their freedom and their flexibility. And we now have all these case studies of companies who can actually show what their performance looks like
mm-hmm.
without forcing people to be in their seats every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that's more like when I say in your seats, like we've come in such a short period of time from here's your desk. And like, not only are you not allowed to work outside of this building, but like, you're not even really supposed to not be at your desk.
Right.
To like,
oh my God.
If people have to go in 2 days a week or something now, it's like, ugh, like,
right.
But I want my freedom.
I know, know. No, that's so true. Thinking back to the time when I was like in the office, like you have to leave for lunch.
Yeah.
Like if that.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Like
yeah.
maybe
like
if you had a really,
someone's probably in the restroom if they're not sitting at their desk.
Yes.
So we, luckily, I mean, it was great to come up in workplace design, specifically in LA,
mm-hmm.
because California really is at the forefront, especially because of the tech and entertainment industries
mm-hmm.
that are there and the level of competition for younger talent that exists
mm-hmm.
in those industries, that they've been having to address a lot of this stuff way before COVID anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where we've been trying
designing spaces to like...
To not be cubicles,
yes.
to not expect, you know, a 22-year-old engineer to, like, actually sit at their desk all day,
right.
you know.
It almost just seems like we tried to make it an extension of school.
Yeah. Well, and I, we and I like
that didn't
work.
That doesn't
it.
Work for like, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny when I was in LA. The firms that I was working at, we were really pushing like we have to still design for grown-ups because these kids want. They don't want a ping pong table and like yeah they
that
like
was
the
literally
stacked,
cool for 1 year.
The ball pits and like no, it was never
the kegs and the, like
it was shock factor cool. Yeah. And it was a way to say, like, we care so much about you having fun that we are...
We want you to
we'll spend
so
it, we'll
much time.
And then there's that.
At the office.
Where it's like, we're going to give you every life amenity so you never have to leave.
Sleeping
which
pods.
No one fell for. Yeah. Everyone was like, you know... Certain good things came out of that. Like, I think wellness rooms, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, different things that are actually more, like, health-related and all of that stuff. But also there was a lot of just waste where...
Yeah.
And it was fun to be in the position and still is sometimes where people build these kind of crazy things or they're thinking about it and then they're coming and they're talking to us as, you know, designers who spend a lot of time helping make predictions around what people want and all that stuff. And they're shocked that these things aren't working. And we're not.
No.
You know, you're like, no, of course not.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you think that a ball pit was going to lead to higher productivity?
like, yeah, no. And that kid who you built the ball pit yeah. for, they want a corner office.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yeah, they want a view.
Yeah.
They want some open lighting.
Right. Yeah. They want to feel like they're making it, you mm-hmm. know? Which you don't feel like that when you're... on what still feels like a college campus, and in college campuses
yes.
don't have ball pits,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So that's, we can stop talking about the ball pits. Yeah. Like very, no one's talked about that in like 10 years.
I know, but I like that idea.
But it is funny.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, and then in LA, just kind of as far as like having to innovate on what hybrid workplaces look like mm-hmm. way before COVID, you just had like the 405 and like the 110, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not getting on that highway.
Yeah.
To come to work.
No.
So we've had people no. working from home. Like if you've wanted the best talent, even just in town.
Yes.
Never mind getting into global workforces and
right.
all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, even if you just want somebody who lives on the west side to work for you.
You cannot you make them come and drive.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you are going to make them sometimes, you need the right thing to offer, you know, to make it worth it. And so, yeah. So we kind of have joked at Indio about, like, we're lucky because we've got to, like, live in the future a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, before COVID shut everything down, we got to actually live in this post-COVID world a little bit where we got to see some of these problems and solutions in action.
Mm-hmm.
And so some stuff that people are just thinking about as a solution now here for the first time, or in certain industries for the first time, not even like geographically,
yeah.
where like law firms are starting to think like, okay, how do I,
yeah, I was going to say,
get people
example?
To come
yeah.
in and, you know, collaborate on something or
yeah.
like whatever. Like we had to do some of that stuff
yeah.
a long time ago in
right.
LA.
Right.
And so
right, right.
we can kind of speak to what does and doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So specifically with this design studio too, it feels like, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this is normal for design studios, but I don't have the experience, but that you really want to like get down to identifying like, I'm going to say personality archetype, right? Of
yeah.
like the brand and how the brand, the company, like whatever it is, because that's going to influence the space so much, which maybe is not a connection that people would typically make. You know, they think of like brand separate and then like, okay, the space can just like, I don't know, maybe the colors align or something.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there's a sequence to like a typical design process.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the order that people become involved in the project or that their sort of scope starts and stops is dictated by, you know, kind of an antiquated idea of how that process should go.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that, like, you'll have an architect who will start the process, then maybe later an interior designer comes in, then at the very end a branding person comes in. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like, almost to, like, make it... are they even having a connection between brand and space? Or is it...
I mean, it depends what how you think about brand, right?
Mm.
Which so we spend a lot of time talking about that. And like one example, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
no, like one sort of challenge or question that we'll ask clients is if you take your logo out of your space entirely, And if you're color heavy, if you change the color or you take the color out entirely, do you still know what office you're in or what restaurant you're in or what, you know what I mean, hotel room you're in? Like, how do you know? And that's where your interior identity comes into play, where it's not just about, oh, okay, you know, whatever, your company's Coca-Cola, so we're going to paint a red wall, and behind the reception desk, we're going to put a Coca-Cola logo, you know, where you're like, okay, you know, and some architect decided that the wall would go there, but they didn't know what color it was going to be or what, you know, like what material would make the most sense. And then an interior person comes in and a lot of times has to change a lot of things where you're going, you know, I don't even want that wall there. This doesn't make any sense. I want my desk to face this way and the wall needs to be behind that desk. And you should ask me this in the beginning, you know. And then the branding person comes in and says, you know, has their whole interpretation of the best way to represent the logo itself or, you know, or the what doesn't get talked about enough, at least in the world of branding spaces, is how, what is everything else saying about your space? What are all your decisions actually communicating? And so that's what archetypes help with, right? Like, in order to really start a brand, a project that puts brand first, which is how you end up with an authentic space.
I was going to say, what the importance of putting brand first.
That's the importance of putting brand first is whether or not at the end of the day, your space is going to accurately represent your company, your brand.
And I think of like the story, because like that's how like a customer or like anyone is going to relate, right? Like it's like the story.
And that comes down to your also behavior and your policies and all of that stuff, where it happens all the time that somebody thinks that they can demonstrate a value that they don't actually live by with their space. But they, but that's not really who they are. And so, I'll give you an example of a company that I worked for that in LA, it was an architecture firm, and we made, we wanted the like work cafe a long time ago, where it's like, no, I want this to feel like a coffee shop, but it's in our space.
Like a you know,
and
place.
Also we want to be able to have happy hours and we want to have beer on tap. Great. We get like no pushback on doing it.
Of course.
However, you were not allowed to drink the beer when we opened and like moved in and like, you know, we have this like customized tap handle and like, it's this great story to tell your new hire. It's a great story to show your clients, but especially for a company that designs workspaces. So you're bringing in people who are going, okay, how did you design? A little bit of pressure to have a good office, right?
When
you're
like,
maybe people are going to hire us to do their office if we can do this well. So we had all the bells and whistles, and you were not allowed.
Because it wasn't like part of company culture.
Well,
like,
and
it just...
some departments weren't allowed to, like their team members weren't allowed to work in the work cafe. They needed to work at their desks. And it's like...
It doesn't make sense. It's not matching up.
And so
that, that like incongruence, like that causes dissonance for people, right? So it's
totally.
Yeah, like something's not jiving.
Well, and you, if you're hiring people based on values that you're not going to deliver on... they're not going to last. Those employees are not going to last. And you can be really honest about your values and they don't have to be everyone's, you know? I think that's something that companies make a mistake around a lot, where they see the trend in what it seems like people want. And so they say, that's us. That's how we are. When they're not really.
They're not really.
And in reality, if you can just say, it's okay if you're a formal workplace where people, you know, dress up and people do have very formal workplace settings and offices
And language.
You're expected to, communicate a certain way and all that stuff. Someone wants to work there. You just need to find that person and you need to demonstrate with your space, with your, you know, with your actual, you need to put your real workplace culture on display and not try to put a fake one on display that people are going to show up and then be disappointed by. You know,
you can't be for everyone and you shouldn't want to be for everyone.
That's right.
I guess maybe some people want to be for everyone.
Well, like, I think it's just, I think it's, I think that's a mistake that people make, you know? But anyway, that's kind of what the archetypes help with. Which basically, I mean, we didn't invent the archetypes. There's 12 of them. I'm sure some listeners have heard of them. They come out of psychology and like Carl Jung and, you know, early personality types of people and just trying to kind of understand how we're all different and how we're all the same.
Okay. I was going to ask like kind of the history behind it. Is it kind of just used for, or was it used for people just to kind of make sense of the world, like make sense of different types of people?
Yeah.
So our brain can like kind of categorize.
Right. And, and just in very early studies in almost the same world as our astrology and signs and kind of those types of things, but from more of a psychology clinical practice type of thing, like can we identify similar personality types and kind of put people in these buckets, and then can we do anything useful with that information? Which there's a lot of books and, you know, there's a lot of different sort of resources around archetypes. Same with like Myers-Briggs and like stuff like that, where in theory you go, okay, if you can accurately identify somebody's archetype, then can you communicate with them better? Or can you understand their motivations more clearly? Or, you know, can you better understand the ways in which you're different from them or the same as them, you know? And it's not like any of this stuff is like true or false, or it's
it's
like
what you make.
Is it helpful?
Yeah. And so for a brand, for a company, for, you know, anyone that's starting a business, has a side business, business, whatever, the advantage to being able to like identify your archetype is that the thought then is like you can better communicate with your intended audience.
Yeah. Well, and within our studio, where we're trying to connect the dots between your actual brand company values and the physical experience that you provide for people, whether that's for your own employees or whether that's for your guests, if you are like a restaurant or a retail space or, you know, anything like that, where
a service provider, like a holistic health coach who has a space,
anybody,
like,
also
anything.
Personal brand comes into it, right? Where it can help you think about your own personal brand or individuals kind of within your company. I think there's a lot of different ways to interpret it.
Yeah.
So the way we've focused it at Indio is to say, we're going to start with your values. And if you just ask people, what are your brand values? It's overwhelming to answer. And you're just going to think of everything positive you can. You know, you're like, oh, we're honest. We're really hardworking. Yeah. We're transparent. We're friendly. We are a great deal, like we're a great price, but also we're the highest quality, like we're the very best you can buy.
Yeah.
But wait, you can't be that and be the most affordable.
You
and
can.
Like you run into these conflicts when you try to make everything your value.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so part of it, it's like you can have values from different archetypes, but you end up sorting out a hierarchy or a priority list of your values, because you'll identify more strongly with one archetype than another. And that's what it's about. Like, it's so much easier to say, which one of these guys do you see yourself in than it is to just say, who are you? Point blank, you know? It works really well, and it's been fascinating. I mean, we've done this a ton of times with every client. It doesn't matter if we're doing like a little tiny brand project, like just a little logo or something like that, which we don't do much of that, but some.
Yeah. I was gonna say, or we're doing like a small project for you.
That would be a small project. You know, like, or really like small. Or like Fata Roja started out as a small project, right?
Okay.
Like, okay, we have a food truck brand.
Yes.
We're gonna need a little packaging, we're gonna need a logo, and we're gonna need like the truck itself to look like something.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Example.
So that's like a little project.
Yeah.
We've also had like big companies that are startups that are about to get acquired or are like establishing their brand because they've grown so quickly that now they need a huge headquarters.
Yeah.
And they've gone from their garage to this headquarters space in like a year.
That's fun.
Yeah. And they've grown.
How do people do that? That's real stories, huh? That
happens. All the time. it is wild. And it's very cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And we've done our, you know, workshops like that where we'll have, you know, 15 decision makers in the room who all kind of think that their values are different. And we get to watch them self-select their archetype by work, you know, by yeah. discussing with each other and debating and
yeah.
and trying to figure it out.
If I ever have a studio space outside of my home for What the Fit, I will have you help me.
Oh, great.
I will hire you.
Thanks. We'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
It's fun.
I'm not a 1 year overnight success story, though. So we might just have to like keep
plugging
along. Well,
look, you have an identity up here in your
yeah.
podcast space.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's great.
No, it works.
And it
for
does.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it no, also, no. it's, yeah, it's, I think if we talk about what your archetype is and then you actually kind of look around at this space, it actually works really well, even though we didn't yeah. do that when we were talking
yes.
about it.
Yes, okay, it's like intuitive.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we talk about the archetype? Should we do, like, what's the best way to kind of give people an idea of like what this process looks like? Do you want to talk
yeah.
about say-sos first, maybe?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know, I mean, whatever you think.
Maybe I can kind of explain what the workshop looks like.
Yes.
And it is always this kind of delicate balance where we loved, like, you want people to come in understanding why they're there and, mm-hmm. and you know, bringing the right people to the table to have the right conversations and all that stuff. And then you also don't want people to go just Google their archetype
yeah.
and take all these online quizzes that are confusing. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
where,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
we've tailored the process and taken it. From so you can go online and look up archetypes, and some people will, and you totally should. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't really mean you shouldn't.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just mean, as with anything, I think bringing a certain amount of openness to it, where you haven't already made up your mind about something,
right? Don't come in with like a preconceived notion,
which is hard.
Yeah.
If you've already sort of like self-diagnosed,
yeah, exactly.
with what you think your answer is. So I think that's where it's not like I don't want to give anything away, and you can go find this information really easily. But
yeah. no, that's
it's
better.
More like. Yeah, so the workshop itself, there are 12 archetypes. Indio created cards,
mm-hmm.
one for each archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done is basically said, there's a lot of information out there about the brand identity or the personality of each one of these archetypes, but there's not information about the world in which those archetypes live,
yes.
right? Like, what is
yes.
your home if you are this type of archetype? Like,
yes.
if you are a lover, what world do you thrive in versus if you are a hero or
yeah.
if you are, you know, a ruler? Like, your space is going to look very different.
Yeah.
And it's not prescriptive. Like, it will tell you, based on the archetype that you select, it's not just going to mean, okay, well, now we know exactly what your space looks like. But it gives you some really great parameters. And design benefits so much from parameters in general, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Because, there's so many opportunities. Like, how could you...
Infinite decisions.
Yeah.
Infinite decisions. Design is about saying no to a lot of things.
Yeah.
In order to land on something that's hopefully meaningful.
Yeah.
And also works with everything else that you've selected.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
a lot of ruling things out.
Right.
And so knowing your archetype can really help you do that because it gives you a reason to choose something over something else
mm-hmm.
or a reason to say no to
mm-hmm.
something. And it ends up trickling into things besides design as well, you know,
yeah.
because it makes
company
you...
Company culture, mm-hmm. like policies, like you said.
Right, exactly.
Structure, ways of working.
Yeah.
yeah.
How you communicate, your
yeah.
social media, you
yes,
know what I mean? The tone
media.
That you take on.
Yeah.
A lot of times companies end up being kind of a mirror of their founder.
Yeah.
Or of their CEO or like of somebody. So we
yeah.
also spend a lot of time in the beginning really pointing out like it's quite rare actually that the personality type or the archetype of the individual is the same as the company.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
you really want to think about the company as its own entity, its own, you know, its own archetype that everybody can get behind. And then all of those people can, you know, individually have their own personalities, of course. And
yeah. Yeah.
Strengths and weaknesses and
right.
an archetype.
Yeah. Yeah, what I'm hearing, it impacts so much more than just the space. I mean, it's like crucial to the space, but it's also just like how you're showing up.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it depends like how established your company is,
yeah.
right? Because if you already have a really well-established culture and things are working well, which
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when people are changing their space, there are a lot of other changes going on in the company as well,
mm-hmm.
whether they're growing, whether they're shrinking, whether they're you know, starting something new.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do just have like somebody's in a position to reevaluate, especially like post COVID, where it's just like, hey, we're ready to we're not trying to change our culture. We like our culture. We're not trying to change our policies or whatever.
Yeah.
But we do need a better alignment between our physical space that's feeling dated or that's not representing who we are very yeah. well, but we are not really sure how to make that alignment happen.
Yeah.
And so in those cases, you're really just trying to get to the heart of what someone's culture already is, what their values already are.
Mm.
And then when you're working with a startup, they actually have some choices to make along the way where it's like, well, how do you want to be?
What do you
believe in? Yeah. Like, do you want,
yeah.
you know, if you're the citizen, for example, then this needs to be very diplomatic. Like you mm-hmm. cannot have a corner office.
Yeah.
That wouldn't right. be fair.
No.
you know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Like there's certain things that kind of come with the territory that people have to make a commitment to in order to then ensure that the final project, you know, the final space accurately, unlike my, you know, former employer where yeah. we had the beer on tap that you couldn't drink,
yeah.
you know, you end up with the right amenities, the right aesthetic, the right organization.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have these individual cards that start with your values and kind of, motivations and overarching like goal of that archetype. And we'll read through them all with just that sort of surface level amount of information. And then we'll try to narrow it down from there, from the whole 12.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to narrow it down to 5. And then with those 5, we'll go through and actually provide the information on the space. So to get you thinking about what the space might look like if you were mm-hmm. any one of those 5.
Yeah.
And usually that helps something kind of click because people are imagining a world, you know, like mm-hmm. they can relate to a description of a space in a way that's easier to relate to than just a value in and of itself. Like, you know, are we, whatever, are we dreamy and,
yeah.
and romantic and whatever, or are we like direct and bold mm-hmm. and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you say those things, you think about language and how you communicate.
Yep.
And you think about your overarching, you know, kind of brand presence or how you want people to think of you.
Yep.
But it's totally different to hear a space described in those ways.
Yeah.
And say, oh yeah, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
so the workshop gives people the opportunity to kind of imagine the space that's associated
with
without
that.
It ever getting so specific.
But right.
We're not going to talk about the color palette.
Yeah.
No, we're
yeah.
not going to talk about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
maybe materiality a little bit.
Right. That would make sense because,
but not a lot of it's more overarching aesthetic and then organization, like how you lay out the space and what that, mm-hmm. what that communicates.
Yeah.
That's so good. It's super fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always amazing. You're always asking for a certain amount of kind of trust and like, hey, we're gonna kind of jump off this weird cliff and
right.
like talk about things that are not the most comfortable sometimes for like the CTO of
right.
you know, some huge company.
Yeah.
And we're like, are you the dreamer or the lover? And I haven't had anybody shrug it off yet. I haven't had a single
like
client.
Scoff or something. Like
yeah,
into,
yeah. To be like, I don't, this is silly or
no, I feel
everyone
like people,
gets into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, everyone gets into it because it's like, just like we take these like personality tests, just like we like to know about astrology and we like to know our Enneagram and we like to know our human design. Like we like want to know about ourselves.
Yeah.
And like we want to know about the company, you know, like it's like your the brand identity, right? Like people
yeah.
want to know. People want to discover.
And people like being challenged to think about the stuff they think about every day, all day, differently.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of times, especially when people are doing this as they're coming up into a project, they've spent a lot of time thinking about, do they even need to do this? And
mm-hmm.
do they, you know, and maybe they've been touring different locations and they're trying to decide between them. I love when we get people at that phase.
Ooh, yeah.
Where we can weigh in that early, that you can actually like
yes.
choose a building location that matches your archetype.
That's
you know.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or people are expanding or, you know,
yeah.
who knows what they're doing. But
I think you should talk about say-sos because that's like such a good
yeah.
example.
So say-so, yeah. Say-so's the dreamer.
Say-so is a dreamer.
Say-so's the dreamer. Say-so is all about transporting you to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of just like leaving the street behind.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And at the same time, keeping it loose enough that it can be whatever that person wants it to be. Mm. Like we'll kind of talk about Seso's like your, you know, you're on vacation, but you're not all on the same vacation.
Yeah.
You know? And at the same time, it's not, it still feels like Cincinnati. Cause some people are on vacation in Cincinnati when they're here, you know, where it has a sense of place.
It is a vacation feel. And like before I had heard you talk about that, obviously like I love Seso. I love the space. It's like one of my favorite bars in the whole entire world. But I didn't even like register or was conscious that like, that's why, like when I go in this space, I'm like, oh my God, like I am like somewhere fucking else. I'm sipping my spritz. Like it's just like this cooler place than like the reality of like Sycamore or Broadway or whatever, you know, like.
And it's hard when reality interrupts the dream. That's the hard part about being the dreamer is this sort of commitment. And you know, I'll be honest, it's loosened up a little bit. Like it's evolved a little bit over time, which I think is natural too. Where in the beginning, when you're really trying to say like, here's who we are, you have to kind of drill some things home that like you can loosen up once you build a community that gets it. And it takes on a little bit of a life of its own. But it is, there's certain things like, for example, why we had uniforms was because it's the dreamer, right? Like there's a certain look of like a hotel bar, like there's a certain level of professionalism. Oh,
I didn't even think about that.
Right. Yeah. And it was interesting, like in the interview process when we were hiring for Seso and like talking to other bar owners, the amount of like polite and like sweet sort of hesitation that we got from people around
when
that.
You told them they have a uniform.
Right. Where they're just like, oh, people are not going to like that. You know what I mean? Good luck, like telling anybody in OTR what they're going to wear, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's never been an issue because people get what we're doing here. You know what I mean?
And too, I feel like that almost, to me, I would hear that and be like, okay, I don't have to think about what I have to wear to work. Like,
and I do think people kind of like that. Yeah. Right. And we're like, you're part of the scene when you're there. Yeah. Like, it's dark.
Yeah.
Everything is like moody and candlelit and it's loud.
Yeah.
And when you like see a white shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's just about contrast. Yeah. It's not about making you look fancy. It's not about, you know, whatever. Like, it's not about what the uniform itself is. It's just about how it fits within the overarching dark environment. Yeah. And you just want to see.
And the hotel.
I love
bar
seeing
thing,
just like the blur of the white shirts like moving so quickly behind the bar when we're busy and the disco
like
ball's
a catch
on.
The disco ball. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, I don't want that light getting absorbed into a black t-shirt, even though we do that sometimes too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's more, it's like that. It's not, I think this is what you need to wear. It's like, this is part of something we're creating.
Yep.
And
it shows, like, and it's, if people are not conscious of it or not, like they feel it.
Yeah.
They might not know what it is, but like there is that feeling when you go into Seso.
And sometimes there's things that you want to do, but they don't align with your values or your archetype.
Yeah.
And so you either have to secretly do it, you know what I mean? But not make it the thing that you're known for.
Mm.
Like, for example, like fundraising, you know, like I think that something OTR overall does pretty well. At the hospitality community, the hotels and restaurants get involved in a lot.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
definitely.
You kind of know where different bar owners stand on things.
Yeah.
Whether that's political or, you know, whatever's going on. Like, and we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a vacation for people and be polarizing. And you can't remind people that the real world is awful when your whole identity is creating an escape from that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, totally.
And so we've done things where like we've, you know, partnered and like donated to something or whatever, but it's like, we're just not going to tell you, hey, come in and buy a drink today because we're going to help fight cancer.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want you to think about cancer when you come in here. Like,
No.
Think about that out there.
Sure,
like come in here and think about the happy stuff.
Right.
You know,
you're in Italy when you're here.
Yeah. Or certain things that are going on with that the whole neighborhood's kind of doing, but you're like, but I don't know if that's what my guest is going to want to be doing. They're coming here for this to be what it is to them, you know?
Right.
And sometimes you wonder like, oh, would we have made more money if we were able to participate in that? Or would we, you know,
to stay
and
true
you just
to your
have
values.
To, yeah,
yeah,
you just kind of have to commit.
The other example that you've used before about the dreamer that I always think about is Disney World.
Yeah. No, Drake's Disney World is the quintessential.
And that, like, dreamer. You never see the trash emptied.
Oh, yeah. The like, go-away green, right?
It's like, they all underground.
They had, like, scientists create the paint color go-away green. It's like Disney, you know, to make buildings not show up. Like, depending... Yeah, and they've got underground tunnels for
you don't see,
moving the trash.
Yeah, like you are supposed to be in this Disney world, and it's that world.
Yeah,
don't like think about where your fork
those
goes.
Those characters without their like full costume or nothing. Like there's, it's
you never
it's
break
very
the dream.
Much real. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's cool. Okay, should we talk about What the Fit? If what the fit were to for the archetype of What the Fit?
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of talked about this before we started recording. And did we land upon the Explorer?
I think so. We kind of zipped through them. And it's a good example of when you're determining your archetype, it should feel natural and not forced. But at the same time, you don't want it to be so obvious because it should also capture your differentiator.
Yes.
And when we were talking about the fit, excuse me, the first thing that came to my mind was hero.
Mm-hmm.
Nike is a hero, right?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
He said to Mario Estrella, like, it's all, it's not like, here's the technology of our shoes or, you know, this is the most this or that. Like, it's all about, like, the human story and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that feels very What the Fit. But also, what do you think all the other fitness podcasts are?
Heroes.
So if you, within your niche, can figure out how to differentiate yourself with that value that sets you apart, I think that's where you can really maximize your archetype and do something, you know, cool with it and lean into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went away from that. We talked about caretaker a little bit.
Right, as a host and, like, how, you know, oftentimes it's about my guests. Like, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
But that also is a little too obvious.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does. Sometimes this happens where it's like, if somebody has a multifaceted business, there might be an archetype that applies to one segment, you know, where it's like, you can be a caretaker with your guest. Like, I'm your guest today.
Yeah.
But then your audience is here too.
Yeah.
And you're kind of a different role for your audience.
Right.
Which is the most important one.
Right.
And I think that's where we started to come around to Explorer because it's like, what are we really doing here? Like, there's... You have a sense of direction and a purpose, but you kind of go anywhere too.
Yeah,
it's like
we
let's
don't
see
know
where this
we're gonna
takes
go.
Us.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
I think that fits. Like, what when it comes to like the space for an explorer, what does that like lend itself to?
So, an explorer space is about embracing change. Like, an explorer thrives in change and needs change. It's like almost too stereotypical to say there's like a nature component. It's not so much that it always has to be nature.
Okay.
So much as like there's likely influences from the outside world in whatever version that is.
And so that's why you said to look around.
I know. So we're sitting in this
in
space.
A literal jungle.
Yeah, that's full of plants. And I'm looking out at the window of the whole city. So talk about seasons changing. You're going to feel that in here.
Oh,
talk about, you know, time of day. Like,
this
is a room that's going to feel different.
Yes.
Throughout the day,
throughout
the year.
It's always changing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel too set in stone. Like, it feels like there's a lot of stuff in here that probably does, like, rotate or something new that you just
new
added
books or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Added those little disco ball things from Christmas I think we're going to keep those.
They're totally great.
There's also just some, like, still Christmas lights up because it's winter and I like it.
It's also like,
change.
It's organized. Like, it makes sense where things are,
but
it's not like I'm looking at a
bookshelf.
And like some books are sideways and like some are standing up, but they're all together where they belong.
Yeah.
And it looks like you've read them all. Like, they're not for show. It's like, these are things that are like,
they're just pushed in there.
You're
because
using
I have,
them.
Yeah,
like
I
you're doing
no
something
more space
up here.
And they just need, that's just how I can fit them in at this point. Cause it all like have like book club book that normally I have like four books on my nightstand, my bedside table. But then it's like, okay, well, I read them. So, like, they need to move off. They can't stay there.
Yeah.
So then they just get shoved in the bookshelf. We should probably organize this. But
yeah, but also it's yeah, no, it's part
of it. Yeah, it's part
totally
of it.
Authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, we have weird stuff, like weird candles. We have like a Buddha statue. We have a picture that I have in a artwork from Copenhagen. Crystals, lots of crystals.
Yeah.
Around.
Right. Like there's going to be reflecting like what you're into right now. And then there's also things that have, you know, clearly been here for a long time. And like this is where their roots are, you know? And I think all of that works really well for the explorer.
I need to get some sort of like what the fit, like obviously like a neon sign would be the obvious choice.
Yeah, that would be super cute.
Yeah. Maybe like over there and you like pull this little string and it.
Okay. So a neon sign is a perfect example of something though that's like, you could say that it's like trendy or that it's obvious, but also what are we doing? Like we're broadcasting.
Yes, right.
Like that's so appropriate.
A light needs to be on for the broadcast.
Air. Like you have a light that comes on and off and it is neon. Like that's like history and it's super appropriate to what we're doing, you know?
Okay, I really need to get one.
Yeah.
Do you know where I can order a custom neon light?
Yeah, I, feel like I do.
You should know that.
Yeah, sure do.
Okay, good. That'll be great. Maybe for What the Fit's 6th birthday coming up in July, be my present to What the Fit.
I think it's a great idea.
A neon sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good because as I was telling you before we started recording, you know, I want to revisit the brand of What the Fit for like the thumbnail on the podcast and like High on the Hill, take that, you know, obviously it's part of What the Fit, but like do something fun with that. And this will be really helpful for me in kind of determining what that will feel like.
Yeah.
Like it should like explore. And I have those archetype cards so I can.
Yeah, you
can
dig
into
them. And the voice and tone part. You're a great example of one where you're not going to change your voice and tone to match your archetype. That's very well established.
Yeah.
We had to choose the archetype that matches what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Which I do think that the explorer does.
I think
you
so
know?
Too.
Like it feels.
It feels very good. Fitting. It feels good in my body. Like when I say it.
Yeah.
It feels good. And that's probably part of it too, right? Shouldn't they like, should they be getting, like when you do these with clients, like do you like see them kind of like, like shift and like move and like
people
energize
get excited
differently
about it, and they do. They get attached, and I love seeing people kind of fight for the ones that they care about when they are, you know, in like a dynamic
groups,
where you have a couple of coworkers there, or you know, whatever.
Right.
It's really interesting to see what resonates the most with people, and there's room for interpretation of the cards. And so every once in a while, somebody reads something and it means something to them that I had not thought of before.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, I do totally get that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we had we were doing a personal one with someone.
Oh, so you'll do, like, personal stuff.
Yeah, you can do it for your personal brand.
Okay.
Or I think it's really helpful.
But will it translate to a space then? Or this is just, like, for you guys helping them
it
with,
can.
Like, their branding?
Yeah, well, it can honestly kind of help with anything.
Yeah.
Your personal brand and your personal space, like, I think it absolutely applies to.
I
haven't really...
That.
Done it for a residential client, but I would love to.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be really fun.
Yeah, it would be really cool. But anyway, we were helping somebody who was trying to, you know, just think about their own personal archetype, and they chose the sage. Mm. But the reason they chose the sage, I think of the sage as really somebody who has all the answers. This person interpreted as they ask all the questions, which is true too. Like that's in the description. You know, sage, somebody who's always seeking the truth.
Yeah.
Indio's a sage, by the way. Like that's our studio's archetype.
Okay.
And this workshop is a great example of why. Like we're going to create tools and we're going to organize a whole process so that we can like get to the core of something.
Yes.
And we're going to become the experts on something, even if we're like inventing what that thing is. And like, I'm so coarse now. And we do think there's like things that you can learn from research and all of this stuff. And then at the same time, you just have to test stuff out.
Yeah.
But then what are you doing with your results and how are you using them? Like how are you using every project to help the next project and all that type of stuff?
Yeah.
So, but I still think of it as like, you know, the librarian or like the chemist who's like mixing potions and, you know, like it's somebody who's doing something that is so based in kind of like science and all the stuff. And his interpretation was that he can't stop asking questions, and that's like a big part of how he defines himself is like seeking curiosity, seeking information, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not that is not wrong at all. It's just a different, and it did resonate more than any of the others.
Yeah, he just kind of made it his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, like,
and I think it's funny. It's a young person.
Yeah.
I think he'll grow into my thinking on what a sage is because of that behavior.
Yes. Yes. You know? Of course, if he's asking all these questions and he's naturally curious, you're going to gain knowledge. You have to.
Right. You then are collecting all the answers, unless you're forgetting all of them. Right. Like you're becoming the sage.
Could happen, but.
Could definitely happen. I feel like that at a sound.
I have a feeling it happens to me a lot. I think about
I used to know that.
I know. I was just thinking about something. I can't remember now, of course, what the example was, but I was just looking back on maybe even just through my photo album, my photos or something. And I was like, I used to be so into that thing and I knew so much about it. And now I don't.
It's not there. I know.
It's not there.
It's wild. And you know what? It'll be back probably in some moment that you don't need it. You'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's that fact.
Yeah.
Or that, you know,
that thing.
All that knowledge that I had. And here it is for a second and I won't have it again. And
I think of when I listened to Joe Rogan, I was an avid, all the time. I listened to every single Joe Rogan podcast. I listened to every single Rich Roll podcast. Do you know who Rich Roll is?
No.
He's a ultra marathon runner person. But they were my two podcast rotation.
Yeah.
And so anything that Joe Rogan was into, I knew so much about, but now I'm
stick. Some of it didn't stick.
Yeah. I knew so much about bow hunting.
Yeah.
But now I don't know anything about bow hunting, but I wish I could say, or just the people, fighter, just shit that,
names and things.
Yeah.
I know.
And
I'm
just
so,
I don't know it anymore.
Yeah.
But then I think what replaced that? Because something, and now I'm okay, I listen to The Toast every single day. So, did I just replace, bow hunting with, pop culture? And, am I giving some kind of judgment to that?
Is it just that you failed to put your knowledge of bow hunting into your daily use?
It has to stay
relevant to you.
Yes.
It's
it has
relevant
to be an application.
To you because Joe Rogan
was, daddy.
Loves
yes.
it. Right. And so you love it, but then it has to stay. It has to stay relevant.
It, so I love it.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. I listen to all the time the Huberman Lab.
My God, of course.
Yeah, I love Andrew Huberman.
I
so
love him
much.
So much. On my Christmas wish list at my Christmas party, I have a wish list every year, right? You say, what do you want for Christmas? And you write it and I send it to Santa. And my wish this year was to go on a date with Andrew Huberman. I want to date him. I want to be in a relationship with him so badly.
He's the best. But also, he's the, for me,
people keep saying I'd get annoyed with him, but
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think I love him.
I don't think so either.
I think I love him. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic.
What were you going to say, though, about listening to...
Talk about, in a two-hour span becoming an expert of something
and then
the next day trying to tell someone about it.
I know. I know. But I know it. I know it.
It makes...
It makes
he
sense.
He does such a good job making it make sense.
Totally.
That you're of course.
Yes.
Of course
sugar,
those neuro... Yeah.
Yes. I listened to a whole thing about ADHD medication.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. I knew everything about it once.
Now, my biggest takeaway from that episode is they don't really know anything about diagnosing ADHD and medicating it, and you just have to trial and error and figure it out.
Uh-huh.
That's what I took away from that two-hour episode.
Yeah. I know. I'll get interesting tidbits from him all the time. And some things will really stick and I'll be I'm going to change. He's so big on
sunlight
exposure. Yes, this is a perfect example. I can't not think about it
and I can't unlearn it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So now every day that I'm not out in the sun between 8 and 10, I'm fuck.
I blew it. Yeah.
I'm affecting my health in a negative way.
Yeah.
I am not sending all of the processes and mechanisms.
How easy would it have been to
just
do
to
it?
Go.
So crazy.
I that is the one thing that I try to do. Even if it means if I can't go out for, cause usually I walk in the morning and that just takes care of it.
Yeah.
But I have multiple times in the winter put on my Uggs, put on a hat over top, my pajamas and put a timer on my phone and go stand. Cause it faces east.
Yeah.
In my little balcony. And I will just stand there with a 10-minute timer on, if it's sunny now, because, 10 minutes for sun, 20 minutes for clouds.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You got to soak it all up.
I know the measurement from him. And I'll just be okay, you just got to do this.
Yeah.
Just got to do it.
Totally. The caffeine one, too.
What's the caffeine
you listened
one?
To the caffeine one?
I gave up coffee okay. last year, so I don't oh, nice. Really drink caffeine. But
well, you should just listen to it. It'll be very validating.
Those are the but, kinds I love. Those
yeah,
are the kind
where
of
you're
podcasts.
Already doing the I'm thing, like, and you're like, oh, yes.
I'm so good.
I'm way ahead of the game.
But then I hate when they talk. And now, like I loved listening to all kinds of things about, like, sober living when I wasn't drinking for the first 6 months of last year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I, like, ate it all up. Now I'm like, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it.
But the nice thing is you can find... Like, you can find this research to support whatever you want to believe in.
I guess, yeah.
Like, it's very real.
For me, I'm just having so much fun right now that I need no research. I know in my bones, like, this is what I'm supposed to be. It wouldn't be this fun if I wasn't supposed to be doing it.
Right. And I think that's true.
Yeah, so do I.
I think that's absolutely true. Yeah. And when it's not fun anymore, then you'll know.
Yeah.
And that's when you change things if you want
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Speaking yeah. of fun, I love asking people on the podcast now, like, what they do for fun. Like, these days, what do you do for, like, okay. what is really fun for you these days?
Okay, well, I'm pregnant these yeah. days.
So it's going to look different.
So it looks so different.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk a lot.
That's fun.
I yeah. walk my dog.
Yeah.
I am absolutely unhealthily addicted to the New York Times crossword puzzle.
What do you mean? That's like app? The healthiest fucking addiction
not
to have.
Not when you dig deep into the archive on the daily. Like, if you do the daily dose of it, yes. But, like, you can't go back and do, like, another crossword,
why?
Another crossword,
why?
Another
it's
crossword.
It's so good for your brain. Like, what else are you doing? Scrolling on your phone?
Well, you know,
Christy,
no,
you're,
you know,
like,
we've
shaming
already went
all
over
of
this.
Us.
I'm not retaining any of this info.
But you're still, like, having to use your brain in a way
yeah.
with
okay,
crosswords.
Look,
that's
trust
really
me,
good.
I know. There's worse things than puzzles.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You're making us all feel bad about
I'm designing my own house right now. Don't know when we're going to build it.
Oh my
don't
God,
know.
But that's for fun.
But that's for fun. Like, I'll just go in and draft,
that
you know,
is so fun.
Like work on one wall for
like
a little while.
Change things or or once you're like, okay, this is it, it's staying. Or will you like do a room, for example, and be like, oh no, actually I want to change it
oh,
all.
Oh, try tons of different things. Oh yeah. No, I'll have in my little CAD file, you know, there'll be like 40.
I imagine you on your,
house
are you on your
like
iPad? Like,
different.
Are you on your
no.
iPad? Like, okay.
I do love the iPad. Yeah. No, I'm like
on a computer.
On a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, those are really fun things.
Yeah.
Those are way more.
It's so funny the things that come to mind when someone asks you that question. Like, I know I'm going to listen to this later and be like, why did I say that's what I do for fun? What do I act?
But that is what you're doing for fun.
Totally.
Yeah.
And those are like daily things, which is really nice. Like, sometimes, yeah. like, oh, I do that one thing once a week that I get, you know,
yeah.
excited about.
No, well, I was, it, what makes me so interested in the question is because I did a values identifying exercise with Lululemon like a couple of years ago where they really helped us narrow down personally, like, your three major values for your life. And mine are community, connection, and fun. Like, fun is a core value of
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, that seems true.
Yeah. And so I just, and it's also one thing that, like, a value that I really tried to push away for a long time. I thought it was silly. I thought it was frivolous. I thought you needed to stop having fun, like, so you could be, like, a serious, working, professional citizen of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't, because I had my grandpa just being like, the fun's over now. Your fun's over.
I've always had people,
the party's got to end?
From, yeah. When I moved to California, I had a lot of family members. You're just on vacation all the time.
Right. With the party.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, right. The fun can't last forever.
But kind of. It is great. Like, I am enjoying it.
Yeah. But then I answer, like, why? Why does it ever have to not be fun? Like, truly.
Yeah.
Who says that I have to stop having fun?
Also,
like, obviously,
it shouldn't
it's not
take the craziest thing to have a good time.
No.
Like, I think there's a lot of value, or at least this is what I want to believe for myself, that there's a lot of value in being easily satisfied by certain things, or just
totally.
Like being able to have a really good time
yeah.
doing something that is just right there and at, you know, at arm's reach or whatever.
Oh my God. Like, the most fun thing for me to do right now is go to Collective Espresso and get a matcha and, like, sit down in their little space and, like, drink my matcha. Like,
for
that
here.
Is
a coffee for
so,
here.
Yes.
Isn't that?
It's
I love
so fun.
It's the best.
And it doesn't get to happen all the time,
no.
obviously. But then, yeah, like, yeah, I'll pay the extra tax to sit here for
oh,
sure.
Oh, I love it, too.
For
sure. I like, grin. I at Urbana all the time. I'm like, when I get to say,
yeah.
"Oh, for here."
I know it's. So
I'm
fun.
Like, you know what kind of day I'm
yes,
having?
Exactly.
The best day of my entire life
because
I'm not getting a paper cup.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like that, those kind of things. Like,
that's like so relate. Fun for me. I so relate. Do you find that people, you'll have like a night or a day or a whatever, an event or something, and somebody will be like, that's the most fun I've had in so long. And you'll be thinking, I had this much fun yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But this was great.
Yeah, it was so much fun, but like on a Wednesday.
But also, they do this all the time.
Yeah. Yes. What's also been really fun for me lately is taking photos of like fun places the light hits.
Oh.
Like just like finding That's like so good sweet. Like light sun spots.
Yeah.
Has been really fun for me.
I think you're in a good place.
I'm in a great place. Yes.
I'm usually a little skeptical when people say that they're in a really good place.
No.
Where it's either meaning that you recently weren't in a good place.
I recently
which is
was
also
not.
Very okay.
I recently was not in a good place.
So you also have that perspective where you're like, wow, this is like, this is great.
Yes, yeah. It is great.
Well, that's fun. And it's contagious. So I think it's great to like be putting that out there.
I'm going to have so much fun at my birthday brunch.
You are.
That's going to be one of the most fun things for sure.
Well, there's good light spots in there. So
I know. Oh my God. I'll get good photos too. Looking cute. Looking cute is like one of my most fun things to do as well.
I am going to try to not take that for granted. I mean, it's cute to be pregnant. It's fun. It's totally different
so
and weird.
Cute. I know. It's
but
totally
you
different
also,
and weird
I'm like,
you.
I scroll back through my phone. And I see pictures of myself that I would have never posted. Yeah. And I'm like, damn, I looked so good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna try to like channel that when I return to my own body.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I'm having an out of body, in body experience.
Right. I know. That is true. But
I
you can
bring some of that because it is so
You also fun I loved though the perspective that you're taking of like almost like this is like you're almost like on a trip. You're almost like, you know, like this is like not the norm. This is a deviation from the norm, but like, let me just be here and like almost observe it as an outsider.
Totally.
Like,
I'm on a foreign planet right now.
Yeah. In your own body.
Yeah. It's super fun.
And you can just like observe it and visit it and not maybe hold so much attachment of like, oh my God, what if I never get back to the exact place I was before? Or like what, you know,
I could look very different than I looked before and still be like, this is amazing.
At least I'm not pregnant.
Remember when I gained 40 pounds? You know, like whatever. Like, this is great. But it's so funny how you can't see things like that in the moment. No. You know, it's the same as like getting older and looking at me like, oh my gosh, my skin looked amazing back then. But you just remember that like one pimple that you had or something. Like, we just never appreciate it in real time.
Yeah. What's the saying? Like, youth is wasted on the youthful or something. Youth is wasted on the something.
Yeah, something.
Basically, like
that.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
You have to be looking back on it. But I'm trying not to do that with pregnancy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be here for it and be like, this is nuts,
nuts,
and it's very cool.
Do you have like maternity clothes? Like, are you gonna like? I mean, obviously, you're gonna have to like get
I'm
new
wearing
clothes.
Like some crazy pants right now.
Your
that,
jeans
like,
look great.
Thanks. They're made
they
well.
Look normal.
And they oh, they're not. I'll give you a preview of this.
Oh yeah, you
see,
can tuck
I'm
it
I'm revealing
up.
Like a nylon stretchy band that goes like almost all the way up to my
it
bra.
It looks really comfortable.
It's borderline comfortable.
Okay.
Nothing super comfortable, but it's not bad.
Will you get one of those like bump suits? Like a full body suit?
Yeah.
I feel like I would look
I wouldn't
so
say no.
cute, like a full black bodysuit, like kind of like holds the bump into, and then you put like a flannel over it.
Yeah. No, you know? I've done very little. It's hard shopping. To decide like when to buy the thing because you're changing constantly.
Right.
But my reading of all those reviews, and you better believe I get targeted with that bump suit.
Obviously.
Like 80 times a day.
You know the bump suit.
I know all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those jeans work through end of pregnancy?
In theory, yeah.
Okay.
They're not very stretchy in like the whole leg.
Okay.
So that's also kind of a nice confident booster. Like, I put these on, I'm like, hey, these still fit and this part doesn't stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm also mentally preparing for the day when that's not the case because it's probably coming. But we'll see.
No.
But
that's
it is
good.
Fun. It's a
it's all and, for
like,
fun.
I just want to also remember all of it, you know. Like,
are you taking
so
photos
crazy.
Of yourself, like for your own self?
I'm not doing the like same photo location every day so that you can like do the time lapse.
Yeah.
I just don't think to. I'm so bad at routine like that.
No, that's not how your brain works.
I don't work that way at all. But I do. I've been doing like little like videos. Like I'll occasionally be like, here I am, 20 weeks. This is what happened today.
Oh my God. Do you ever think about like recording videos and that you will show your future child? Like, hey, you're in mommy's belly.
Here
this
you
is
are.
20 weeks. Like, I just got these new jeans.
I haven't really thought about what becomes of my little like weekly log.
Yeah.
Other than like, if I were to get pregnant again, to be able to go remind myself like, oh, here I was doing this. Or like,
that's good.
You know, but you're right. Like, there's that's probably good. Some value to them otherwise.
Like all these like of the time moms are like making reels for their babies to see. You're like, this one's good. Like that's how the babies like then know about, you know, before we had pictures, you saw like a loose picture.
Yeah.
And now they have a reel.
If I had a reel or like a video of my mom when she was pregnant with me.
And like set to a good music that she liked.
Today you kicked me. Yeah. I would think that's super cool.
So cute. And then just like pictures of like you and your big like eating spaghetti off your belly. And like, know. You know, and like there's a picture of your swollen feet.
And we have those ideas of those pictures.
I know.
And it's like, well, I have to take that one. Yeah. Like I have to make sure I don't miss that. Like
there are some like,
moment we're all used to seeing that like
iconic pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like you with a pickle jar. Standing in the kitchen with like a big white oversized shirt and no pants on.
I've been addicted to pickles like my whole life. So I'm like, oh, some of these things I'm like, I've always been.
It's easy.
I've
transition.
Always had weird food habits and stuff. Yeah.
Easy transition. Okay, Christy, anything else to talk about? Archetype, Indio, anything that we missed? How do people get in touch with you? Or like what's that process? Like if they're someone that's like, wanting to do personal brand stuff, business stuff, like what does that
look
like? I
mean, you can find Indio on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can find, and I can give you these things to like put in the podcast notes or whatever.
Yeah.
You can email hello@indio.design.
Great.
Or Christy@indio.design.
Great.
Easy. INDIO.
Mm-hmm.
We're right downtown. We're above Say So.
Yes.
Our studio. So we're always there.
Yeah.
And one of my goals for this year is to not just kind of wait for the architecture project to come knocking on the door and then introduce people to archetypes, but actually try to put archetypes out there. And you don't need to have a big renovation project going on or be buying an office or opening a new restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like it can be so helpful to kind of go through this little discovery process.
Yeah.
And so I want to make that more like available to people.
Mm-hmm. Accessible.
And it's all such good like learning. Every time we get to do it, I learn more about the process. I think about things a different way because of who that,
right.
You know, how that client interpreted it or whatever. So for me, it's one of those things that it's never a waste of time. It's always really fun.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see people get excited about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we should end with the question of what does being fit mean to you? Just so you have a record of now in your visiting your pregnant planet that you're on, like what does being fit mean to you now today?
I wonder. I'm just trying to think of how I answered this a few years ago, and I'm pretty sure it was dance parties, which could not be further from like what my current. Remember we talked about that? Like I love to have a dance party and like
fit.
The calories you can burn.
Yeah. Totally
bouncing
fit.
Around to really good music.
Yeah.
That's
just like the beauty of that question is that it's like always in flux.
Totally.
Always in flux.
I think, and maybe I'm also being influenced by our conversation a little bit and like things that have been brought to the forefront that I do spend time thinking about kind of by myself. But right now, like I'm like somebody's house. You know what I mean?
You are.
Like, I'm someone's environment. And all I do all day for my real job life, whatever, is, like, think about how important these environments are and all
my mind
stuff.
Is being blown right now.
And I try to think about, actively as I'm walking around on the planet.
How do you make this?
What can I do that's, like, a little better? Like, I could be talking to you right now. You have ears, little guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, as I'm learning the different things that are going on, I'm like, oh, simple things like that. Like, wouldn't it be nice if you were hearing your mom talk instead of hearing just like the espresso grinder or like whatever, like little things that you can do.
Or like I want to make sure you're really hydrated. So like I'm going to drink a lot of water
absolutely drinking a ton of water. Yeah. Never drink more water. Cause you're like, you're swimming around. This is your,
and you have like double the fluids inside. Like your blood is like doubling in volume or something crazy.
It's unreal. Yeah. Crazy stuff is happening.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the mental side of it where it's like, you know, we don't really know how everything that we think about, stress about, whether or not we sleep. I'm like nocturnal while I'm pregnant, which is, I am a sleeper. I am like a 10-hour a night.
You haven't been able to sleep?
I can sleep in the middle seat of an airplane.
Hell yeah,
like,
me too.
I'm a sleeper.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm awake and I'm just trying to focus on resting. And just embracing it.
Just like being comfy. Even if you can't fall asleep, like we're still comfy.
You're probably sleeping. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm going to try to collect energy by laying here with my eyes open, you know. And I would just like try to interpret everything in a slightly more, you know, I'm just like, I don't want to let anything affect me because then what if that affects the baby?
Yeah.
I just want to be
there's like this
happy
like extra lens that you're that's like different lens that you're looking through now because you're literally a house for your baby.
Right.
You are the space for your baby.
So being fit for me right now is like trying to be a good house.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so silly.
That's such
but it's super fun.
Yeah, that's such a good answer. It would really blew my mind when you're like all day I'm like designing spaces and like whatever and like now I am the space.
Yeah.
Like,
I am. It's crazy.
The house.
Yeah. Yeah, and no. They're like it's crazy just learning about like what's going on with the baby and how much awareness they have. We think we don't know anything,
I know.
But like
how
we think
know?
Where it's like oh no, they can respond to light at, you know, 22 weeks or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Light gets through the belly?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That's so wild.
Yeah. Like he knows if it's nighttime or daytime and can hear and can, you know, feel things and all this crazy stuff.
Wow.
Which is so, and I'm like, I learned a lot from Andrew.
Yet?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
have?
Yeah. Yeah, damn. It's very cool.
Does it feel like you have an alien in there? Or does it feel like it's your own baby?
It feels...
Do you feel like a kangaroo in any sense?
I like the idea of a kangaroo. It doesn't feel like an alien.
Okay.
Because it's funny, you're so aware of pregnancy all the time when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Especially if you're thinking about, like, am I getting all my water and, like, all this stuff?
Yeah.
That it just feels, to me, it feels, like, really validating. Like, oh, you're really in there. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times, aside from the slow over time,
right,
which some of those things feel like they happen overnight too, where you're like, oh my gosh, like where did this bump come from? Or like, where did these boobs come from?
Yes.
You're just like, it seems like pops out of nowhere.
Yes.
And then other things you really don't notice every day and then all of a sudden or whatever. But a lot of it is so kind of passive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really nice to get like a literal kick, like that kind
I'm
of
here.
Reminder. Like, I'm here. You're doing this for something. It's worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's such a good answer.
Aww.
Thank you so much for coming on. This is such a delight.
Thank you so much for
having me. Yes. We'll link everywhere where people can find.
Yeah.
Go get a drink and say so. Go go to Rotso.
If you need your headquarters designed, if you need a blueberry pizza, I got you. Both of those things.
You can have it all. You can truly go get a drink and say so, and then just pop in the backyard and get a pizza. It's the best. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on Instagram at Chrissy Girlie, KRISSYGIRLIE, and at What the Fit Podcast. If you're loving What the Fit, please help spread the word. Send it to a friend, share it to your story. And if you are looking for even more exclusive content, become a Patreon member. You can find it at patreon.com/whatthefitpodcast. Love ya.